Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm excited to have Wendy Henry on the show today. Wendy is the managing partner of the St. Louis and Decatur offices of BKD. Wendy, oh my goodness, I am so excited for this interview because BKD is our accounting firm and has been for years, but you and I are just really dear friends. And so this is going to be so much fun. I appreciate you making the time to be on the show.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. Thank you for having me, Lisa.
So I don't even know how long we've been using BKD, Technology Partners, but I think, and am I correct in this? You moved here from Colorado Springs about 11 years ago.
I did. It's hard to believe. It's been 11 years.
Well, I just remember one of your former partners, Tom Froge, and he said to me, Lisa, you have to meet Wendy. You are going to love Wendy. And so I remember where we ate lunch. Do you remember?
Yeah, yes.
Yay! Yes, exactly. And he's like, oh my goodness, you're going to love her. And he was right. So I just count you as a dear friend. And again, we love your service. BKD does a great, great job. And we can definitely talk more about that. But I'm going to put you on the spot for 1 minute. I know this is going to embarrass you. But I was just reading yesterday, you were one of two of the partners that just got recognized in June with the Pride Award.
I did.
And I'm like, wow, she didn't say anything about that or anything. And I love it. So the pride is the core values, right? So I'm going to put you on the spot. What are the core values?
So our core values, I mean, the acronym is PRIDE. So it's passion, respect, integrity, discipline, and excellence. And we've had those core values for years and really kind of celebrate how we serve our clients and how we serve each other and really kind of having that impact and kind of leading forward. And so each year we award the Pride Award to one partner and one employee in the firm. And I was just shocked. I'm still shocked that I received it. And it's just a great honor to receive that award.
Well, here is what was said of you about that. Wendy always holds herself to be the best person that she can be. Those who've worked with Wendy consistently mention her integrity and how she strives to be excellent in everything she does. She's one of the great leaders at BKD. So, you know, I see that with those core values and the excellence in everything she does. And I have served on boards with you. I've done all kinds of things. And I mean, I totally see that about you. So St. Louis is very, very lucky to have you, Wendy.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Appreciate that.
So let me go back. I want to talk a little bit about how you grew up and then let's kind of get into your career a little bit. And we're going to talk about a lot of things there.
Okay. Well, perfect. Well, I grew up, you know, mom and dad, and I have two younger brothers. So I was the oldest and really was the first in, you know, my immediate family to go to college. You know, it just wasn't what my family really did, but I really wanted to. And early on, I wanted to go into medicine, but I took a chemistry class and hated it. So I had to pivot. And at that same time, this is in high school, I was taking kind of an intro to bookkeeping. And I just looked around and it was really easy for me. And I watched my friends struggle. And so, you know, you start to think maybe there's some aptitude here that I need to explore. And so kind of declared accounting as my major right away in college and just continued down that path. And I mean, it's just been a labor of love for me ever since. You have that core that's very technical, but it's also a very people-oriented business because you're really working closely with your clients and figuring out their needs and what they need for their business to be successful. And so it's just been a blast. It's been 37 years I've been doing this.
Yeah. And you look like you're 29. So, you know, I mean, that's a good deal. Well, you knew that I have an accounting background as well. But unlike you, I practiced for about 5 years and I'm like, I'm not sure. I see myself doing this forever. So I pivoted and went into corporate sales. And then, of course, then Greg and I jumped on the entrepreneurial wagon. But for people out there, for young people that are thinking about business, I think it's a wonderful foundation. You've got to understand your financials.
From there, you can go anywhere and do anything. You know, it's just such a great framework. And you might enjoy it. You might want to stay in it, or you can pivot and do anything else.
When you graduate, what was your first job?
I actually started with Deloitte Haskins and Sells. And so, you know, that was back when there was the Big Eight.
Yes.
I kind of laugh now when somebody asks me, I usually just say Deloitte because the younger generation doesn't even remember that there used to be a Deloitte Haskins and Sells.
I think Deloitte's like in the top three, at least now.
Yeah.
That's one other thing that I want to say, like if you're a young person, you're thinking about accounting. So there's a couple different paths you can go. But if you're really thinking accounting is something that you're going to enjoy, I think getting that big firm experience is gold. I really do. I think it's golden. EYs, the Deloittes of the world, the PwCs, it's a great, great foundation because you're going to see across a lot, aren't you, Wendy? I mean, it's not just one company. You're going to see across a lot of different organizations.
Yeah. You know, any of the large firms, I would say any of the top 20. And so, you know, BKD falls in that as well. Just the experiences that you're going to have right out of college, you're working with business owners. You're, you know, having those interactions and talking to them about their business, just the learning curve and the business acumen that you start to develop in doing that is so quick. And it's just an amazing experience to have that on your resume and to gain that experience.
Great advice. So I want to back up just one step here. You said something that, see, I didn't know about this about you, that you were the first in your family to go to college. So, Wendy, what was the precipice for that? Did you have anybody speaking into you to say how important education was? Or was this just something, you know, Wendy kind of looked in the world and said, yeah, I think I probably need to go to college and get an education?
You know, I think it was mostly an internal desire to be independent on my own. Graduated from high school in 1979. And, you know, you looked around and I wanted to be able to drive my own success. And just said, you know, the only way for me to do that is to have an education. And my family was supportive, but it wasn't something where they were saying, you have to do this, you have to do this.
It wasn't really expected. And it's kind of funny that you were thinking about going into medicine. You know, I was thinking about going into medicine. Actually, I was going to be a physical therapist and then ended up pivoting in college. But the cool thing about it is you've got two boys
that are both doctors. That are doctors. I know. So they're doing what I didn't want to.
That is so awesome. So you've been here for 11 years, but my goodness, Wendy, you came in like a force. I mean, you just came in with both feet. You got involved very quickly. In fact, I laughingly say, yeah, very quickly after you came, you started recruiting me for stuff. You said, come on, Lisa, be a part of Go Red for Women. And I joined the Go Red for Women ELT, and the rest is history. But I know that's been in your DNA. And I read somewhere, and I may get the stat wrong, but since you've been the managing partner for the St. Louis and Decatur office, this office has increased revenues by something like 30-something percent and increased giving by 43%.
I'm not sure if those are the exact numbers, but we have continued to grow We've definitely increased giving. We've increased all of us being involved in the community. You know, one of the things I've always believed, it was taught to me early on as a professional, and I've just carried that on, is that if you're a professional working in a community, you have to be a part of the community. You have to give back. You have to support the community that supports you.
Did a mentor speak that into you? Can you tell a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So when I was young in my career, I had a managing partner. She's still one of my best friends to this day. She was one of the few female managing partners at that point in time, but she was just very wise and she was very focused on, again, being part of the community and developing relationships. And she just always taught me as a younger professional that this is important. The business will come if you really do these things right. And so it was ingrained in me. It was what I did when I was in Colorado, was very involved. And so it was just a very natural thing to do when I came to St. Louis. And it actually helped me get to know people. You know, I just don't know how you would do it any other way.
Yeah. And you learn so much about people working side by side with them, you know, in that capacity, don't you? So I know in Colorado, I think our common organization that you and I both loved was Junior Achievement. And I sat on that board here for like 6 years. So talk about that, because maybe there is a young person out there and they're like, how do you even meet people? And I think it's good to meet people in other industries. Don't you, Wendy?
In business, you need to expand your horizon and meet all the people that you can. I kind of joke, I never turn down a request of somebody that's like, hey, I just want to connect. Because you never know where that's going to go. So I'm always open to making that connections. And, you know, I tell people frequently that a big piece of my success is in that networking and connecting that I do. And so it's important. And if you can make a connection and you can help others, they're going to remember that. And you never know where that's going to come back and be supportive of you. And you don't do it for that reason. It's just an ability and trying to help others be successful. Just kind of that all boats rise. You know, we want everyone in this community to be successful because all boats will rise.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's being what I call a net giver. It's not like you do it so that you get something back, because sometimes you will never get anything back, but it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Here's what happens to me a lot is people say, oh, I have a son or a daughter or a sister, you know, and they're not even in technology. But they'll say, will you meet with them? And I'm like, absolutely. You know,
yeah.
I think we're very healthy and sustainable, but hey, I may be calling you for a job one day.
Right.
You just never know.
You never know.
I could not agree more. Some of my biggest blessings have been from just, you know, making myself available to take the call. And you model that so, so well. Here's the thing. All of these organizations, all of these 501c3s, the YWCA, you and I are involved in the YWCA. All of these organizations, Wendy, are doing amazing things for our community, but they cannot do it on their own. They cannot do it without the financial resources, the human capital in terms of volunteers. It doesn't work. So if all of us do a little bit and do our part, the community at large is going to be better for it.
And I think St. Louis is a very giving community. So I think we're very fortunate here, you know, in the metro area. We're very generous with our dollars and very generous with our time.
I agree. And I want to talk about that more, but we need to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Wendy Henry. Let's face it, the future is mobile. There's a good chance that you are listening to this show right now on your phone. Have you explored how you can move your business mobile too? Our mobile apps team at Technology Partners makes it their mission to move our clients into the hands of their employees and customers and change their business processes to meet the demands of their users. Let's work together and build a dynamic mobile app for your team. Go to tpi.co/mobile apps and get the conversation started about how we can help you get your new application off the ground. So, Wendy, I have to ask you this question because, you know, we're a technology company. So I have to ask this question because some of our listeners are technologists. So how has BKD as a whole embraced technology? How is technology impacting what you do and how you deliver to your clients?
You know, I would say technology is changing how we serve our clients dramatically from kind of the audit side. everything's becoming more automated, and we can use technology to gather information from our clients to be able to help them, you know, do the compliance and then use the information and the data analytics to really look at how to make their businesses better. Same thing on the audit side. We have a huge push. We call it the audit of the future, and really looking at how do we use technology? How do we use the data to have a more efficient and effective audit? And there's all kinds of different technology and software and things that we're using and building and, you know, kind of building our own to be able to do that, to serve the kinds of clients that we serve. It continues to change and adjust and shift, and all kinds of just new technology really that makes us better, makes us better auditors. It makes us better on the tax side, makes us better on the consulting side and helping our clients.
Absolutely. We always say technology truly can improve the employee experience. It can improve the client experience, but we always say we're business people first, technology second. So how can you use technology to do your job better and to make things more efficient? So that's great. Thank you for indulging me there for a minute with our technology discussion. So Wendy, I'm just thinking about you, and I see that there is another way that you are giving back. That is through your SKY initiative. And D&I, diversity and inclusion, is really an important topic. So I'd love for you just to dig into that. First of all, why is diversity and inclusion even important? Why should companies be thinking about this? Why did you guys decide to start thinking about this? And then tell us more about SKY and the Protégé program that you guys have developed.
Well, wonderful. You know, I love to talk about this. This is my passion. And really, it comes down to a business imperative for us. We started SKY 6 years ago, and we really started with gender and looking at our workforce. 50% of our employees who were coming to BKD are women. But when we would get to our partner level, only 17% were women. And so we looked at where we were losing our employees faster. And in a time where we were wanting more employees, we need employees to grow and serve our clients, we just looked at it and said, we can't lose 50% of our workforce faster than the other 50%. And so we started with gender. So SKY is our D&I initiative. We started with gender for that very reason, and it was very much of a business imperative for us at that point. We also looked at a lot of the research that says, you know, if you have a team that is diverse and has, you know, more women, men and women both, you're going to make better decisions. And there's a Catalyst report that talks about the Fortune 500 companies and those that have more women on their corporate boards and in their C-suite have better financial results. So we started looking at those statistics and said, we need to do something differently. I'll go back to some of the programs, but kind of fast forwarding today, we're doing the same thing with ethnic diversity. The U.S. Census Bureau has said that by 2040, the mid-2040s, I've read some reports that say even as early as the mid-2030s, there'll be more workers of color than there are white or Caucasian workers. And so you look at those statistics and you say, we have to do something now to have an inclusive culture that will make all of our BKDers feel included and part of our firm. So those were all very important for us, and it was a business imperative for us. With SKY, we set about saying we need programs to kind of change the flow, change our culture. And so the program within SKY that I'm the most proud of and that had the greatest impact so far is what we call our sponsor Protégé program. And so we select a class of 10 women, and these are up-and-coming, high-potential women that are what we would call senior manager or director roles. So they're kind of right in the 8 years to 11 years in their career doing great things, and we partner them with a partner in the firm. So it's a one-on-one relationship that develops, and it really helps her establish her goals, look at where she wants to get in her career. And then you have this sponsor that is really helping you kind of think through the business acumen. Is that the right goal? So many of our women, when we first sit down with them, they have goals, but they're not the goals that are going to get them to partner. You look at a lot of the research and it talks about women doing the office homework or the office busy work kind of things. And those aren't the things that get you to partner. So really the sponsor can walk alongside the protege and really help them think about the right goals. How do I get to be the business professional that you need to be a partner?
So let me understand. So the partners will maybe recommend a woman that they see potential in, right? And then is there a committee, like a vetting committee that chooses the 10?
Right. So these women are nominated by their managing partner in their office. Then we go through and we take those applications from the managing partners, and then our management committee makes the ultimate decision on the 10 that are going into the class.
Gotcha. So how many have you graduated so far?
It's a two-year program, and we're on our sixth class, and it's been great. Of those, we've only had, I think, two women that have left the firm, which before we did this, we would have had much higher turnover than that.
Well, that's another benefit that I see. And I always say when people know that you're investing in them, people are more loyal sometimes. So your retention has probably been better.
Exactly.
Of having this program.
And then I don't have the exact number, but there's a large number. I think it's almost 30% of them have gone on to become either a partner or managing director in the firm, which are our two highest levels.
That is wonderful. So this protege sponsor relationship, what is the meeting rhythm? Is there a set meeting rhythm, Wendy? And as far as your sponsor goes, do you give them training?
We absolutely do. So we bring them together for 2 days of orientation because a lot of times they don't know each other very well. And so we bring them together for 2 days, very intensive kind of relationship building. We go through and help them understand the program. They work through the goals, the beginning part of the goals, really kind of get the foundation set. And then from there, we ask them to meet, and it can be virtually because they're almost never in the same office. So they then meet at least once every 6 weeks for the duration of the program.
That's great. And I would surmise that some of those relationships probably continue past the 2 year mark, I would imagine.
They all do. Because once you've developed that, you have somebody that you really trust,
yes,
and that you know is helping and speaking into your career and really has your best interests at heart, those relationships last beyond that.
Right. So Wendy, I mean, we talk about finding mentors, you know, get a mentor, get a coach. Having a sponsor and having a mentor are really two different things. I mean, how do you define that? And can you talk into that a little bit?
Yeah, I would say the best definition that I've heard is a mentor is kind of the here and now, your day-to-day, kind of what's going on in your world, in your career this year. A sponsor is someone who you develop a relationship with, and it's somebody that already has a seat at the table that can speak on your behalf when you're not there, that can bring you along. They kind of give up some of their credibility for you. And so having a sponsor is critical as you start to really move up. A mentor is going to help you day to day, but long-term, a sponsor is going to help you set those long-term goals, and they're going to invest themselves in you.
Right. So you've been in your career for a long time, Wendy. What would you today tell your younger self?
You know, I think I would say pay attention to all the people in your network. I think when I was really young in my career, I probably didn't do that as well. Once I started learning how important it is, because, you know, again, women, we put our heads down and we just work. And so, you know, I would say early in my career, I was more focused on that than kind of that lifting my head up and really paying attention to the networking and paying attention to those people around me and, you know, making sure that you're really learning and developing those below you, developing them and really learning from those above you. There's something you can learn from everyone. And really understanding that. I think I was kind of a little bit into my career before that really clicked for me.
Yeah. Not too long ago. And I love these questions because it really always makes me kind of pause and stop and really be introspective myself. But a young woman had asked me, you know, if you could say one thing to a 20-year-old woman, what would you say? And I'm like, wow, you know, one thing. That's one thing. And, you know, what I said was know who you are. But I feel like the more you can lean into people above you, and like you said, everybody in your network, it really helps you kind of crystallize a little bit more and get clarity about yourself.
And the other thing I would add to that is to learn the business. Whatever business you're in, don't just know your piece. Learn the whole business.
Yes, that is critical. That's critical. Great advice. Well, Wendy, this is something extra. So I have to ask you, what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
So what I would tell you, Lisa, and again, this is something I probably learned later. One of the things I wish I would have understood earlier in my career, as a leader, you have to do what's equitable for the people you're leading, not what's equal. And for the longest time, as I was starting to lead, I felt like I had to treat everyone equally. And not everyone needs the same thing. As a leader, my job is to bring out the best in my team. And that's something different for each person. As I've been on this D&I journey and helping us think about that, that it's really been crystallized for me. In that I have to think about equitable, what's equitable. And there's a great little cartoon about three little boys standing and trying to look over a fence at a baseball game, and they're each different sizes. And so the short one can't see over the fence, but if you get each one of them a step stool that fits their size, they can all look over the fence and all see the game. It's a great visual for this whole movement.
Wow, that'll be one that I won't forget. Thank you for that, Wendy. So I want to give the opportunity to talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about. And you're going to talk about your awesome firm, I think. So what would you like to tell our listeners about BKD?
Well, I would just say thank you for this opportunity. It's always fun to visit with you. And I would just say, if you don't know about BKD, please check us out. We are a wonderful firm, really focused on serving our clients well. You heard about our pride values. We also have our unmatched client service standards that is just our guidebook to how we do business. And so for those of you that might have a business that need advice, we're here. If you're an accountant looking for a home, we're here. We're always looking for great people and great clients. And, you know, we're always transitioning in the services that we provide as well. You know, during COVID, we've really pivoted and we have a lot of resources for PPP loans and all of the things that were happening during COVID. So you can find all of those on our website. One of the services that I'm really proud of is how we've pivoted and really started to focus on accounting outsourcing, servicing not-for-profit organizations. And you talked earlier, I mean, I just have a heart for not-for-profit organizations. So I was really excited to see our firm have a focus on that. And, you know, how do we help these not-for-profits really add to what they're doing and add to their capacity?
So what does that look like, Wendy? How is it different for a nonprofit versus a for-profit?
I just think there's a different focus. And my background when I was a practice partner was serving not-for-profit organizations. And it's really focusing on the mission and how you make the most of not only the dollars, but the volunteers and all of the resources that you have as a not-for-profit to fulfill your mission. And so our services kind of incorporate all of those pieces and, you know, how we can help each not-for-profit organization be better at whatever their mission is.
Well, I can be a good testimony because like I said, Technology Partners has used BKD now for, I don't even know how many years now, probably 15 years. And the thing that we have always really appreciated about you guys, Wendy, as we've grown as an organization, there's really not anything that you guys haven't been able to handle. And, you know, I know that there's even so much more that we haven't even taken advantage of. So I appreciate that about you guys. It's a true partnership.
It really is. And we see it as that way. You know, we want to be the trusted advisor for our clients, and we have to be there to help you when you need help and to give you that feedback when you don't even know you need help.
That's right. Exactly. And that's a big part of it too. Sometimes we don't know what we don't know. So, well, Wendy, this has just been a delight. It's been so much fun spending this half an hour with you. And I know that your story, I know that your wisdom and all your insights are going to really help our listeners. So thank you so much for making the time.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's always great to visit with you.
Very good.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.